The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
She's an Olympic champion. He is a two-time Olympian. Together, they're figure skating royalty. Turned NBC commentators. And now, they're pop culture icons. But more importantly, they're best friends. NBC presents Tara and Johnny. Here's Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to our two-part Back to School special, where we're talking all things wedding, honeymoon, storm, and also our continuing devotion to you, all the billions that listen to our podcast, and we're so thankful for. But last we left off,
we went to Vietnam, which was an experience of all experiences. It was one of those things where it's like not the place that you'd go to have this like romantic vacation, or you're not on the beach and like
you go backpacking.
You're there for the experience. And like we really did, like we say it now when we look back, like obviously the Maldives and Italy, but like Vietnam was where we had some of these like crazy memories that we'll have forever. So we started in Hanoi and we had the best tour guide, Tom. It was really interesting because we started in the north at Hanoi. And then we went to Saigon and just, you know, the difference in, like, people and the way that they think when it, you know, comes to the war and things like that is so different that getting those two different perspectives was fascinating because we had two tour guides in each place we went. And so Tom took us around and, like, you could tell he was a bit more conservative and, you know, he didn't like anything new. Which was like one of the funny things that like Todd and I would laugh about because there would be like this bridge with lights on it and he'd be like, and then there was like another bridge they just built and he'd be like, yeah, you could tell like what he didn't want to tell us but had to. He's like, oh, this bridge, blah. And then he would like mutter under his breath, like too heavy.
Storm. We're breaking the bridge down.
We have to get to storm next. Yes. We're going to stop with a storm story after Vietnam. And then, like,
should we make this a three-parter podcast? Should we give people a break for a minute and then come back?
Well, okay, let's finish Vietnam, and then we'll take a little break.
Okay. So more Vietnam. So Tom hated anything new.
And yeah, he didn't want to tell you. He just like would do it in a funny way. So there was like this huge university we were passing by. Like it was, you know, like building after building, and we wanted to know what it was. And he just like didn't like it for some reason. So he'd be like, I don't know, unknown. And we'd be like, wait, what? And then eventually he'd be like, oh, it's like a university. But he's like, I don't know, it's an unknown. Unknown university, doesn't matter. And
invalid number.
Yeah, just like so funny. We loved him. But it was interesting. All the war stuff was fascinating. I mean, obviously, you know, the north and south of Vietnam had, you know, different views back then. And it is interesting that all these years later, you know, what you pick up from, you know, people. Like, we loved Tom so much, and it was interesting. All we did was talk to him about all this stuff because we just wanted to hear, like, what he thought. And his wife worked for the government, and it was just, like, fascinating. And, like, but it was funny because you get, like, different answers than we did in Saigon. So, like, they had these old school, you know, exactly what you would think in a movie, like the speakers on the side of the street, like what they had during the war.
Announcements.
Yeah. And at five, you know, back then it was like all propaganda, whatever. Mm. And at 5 p.m., you just all of a sudden get these people speaking to you over the speaker. And I asked Tom, I was like, what is that? He's like, oh, they're just telling you traffic rules. And I was like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, then when we went to Saigon, our tour guide was like, no, like a lot of times it's about government. And like, it is very interesting. Like we went to the Hanoi Hilton where all the POWs were captured and just their version of it is fascinating. Like, we went into this, you know, you learn about, like, the war with the French and all this stuff, and you see these horrible cells that the Vietnamese were, you know, imprisoned in. And then you wonder, like, oh, where is the American portion of this? And you just go into a room, and it's all these pictures of, like, Americans, like, laughing and playing, like, you know, football and volleyball and Christmas Day, and it's just a video that tells you, you know, pretty much like how well the Americans were treated and how lucky they were, you know, to be here. And, you know, they'd catch chickens to have organic meals, and it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. This is interesting. But anyway, we went all over. We did, we went down a delta in Hanoi. And
that terrified me. Your water sports and the things that you did on water really just irked me the whole time you were away because it made me so nervous.
Right.
From the dolphins to this. I've seen river monsters on the Discovery Channel, and some of the stuff that they pull out of those Southeast Asian rivers is just terrifying. Catfish that could swallow you whole.
No, it is. And I did things that I thought I'd never do. Like, we went into this cave, and you had to literally, like, lay down, or it was like, and I was like getting a little claustrophobic. I was like, what is happening? But it was such an intense experience. And then, like, the Vietnamese, they were so awesome. And just like getting to like our tour guide or people that we'd meet was just such this really cool experience, and just everything they've been through. And I don't know, it was awesome. We went to Ha Long Bay, which is beautiful. It just, you know, all those little like green covered islands that pop up, and we
what'd you eat?
Well, you know, there's a lot of prawns in every dish, and like
Todd,
you have to
Todd's
prepare
super picky,
right? And so am I. So you have to prepare, like, even going on the plane ride, everything smells the like shrimp, and it's intense. And I just tried to find Italian everywhere I went, and you know, I tried in the beginning because in Thailand I was sort of like, you know, venturing out of my like normal food habits and liking it. But I have to be honest, I would be lying if I said I liked the food in Vietnam. I couldn't get on board. It was a lot of
just awkward seafood moments.
Yeah. And just prawns everywhere in every dish. Like, I don't want a prawn. I want pasta with red sauce. Yeah. I want a chicken finger.
Or butter.
What was funny, it didn't agree with my stomach. Like, I was sick there several times.
You aren't pregnant, are you?
No. Okay. It was just Vietnam where the food just was not it. But the people were awesome. We had this cab driver that I'll never forget because we were like, he couldn't, they're like so into doing like their job so well that he couldn't find the restaurant. We're like, it's okay, we're just going to walk. This guy wouldn't
take no for an answer.
All of a sudden, he pulls over and leaves the cab, and we're like on a street, like with cars, like going right by us. And I'm like, Todd, what do you think just happened? What is this? Like, someone's gonna come back and kill us? What are we supposed to do here? He like ran around six blocks trying to find the restaurant for us. Like, the people were amazing. And then we went to Saigon, and we loved our tour guide there too. And he had, you know, dramatically different views. And I don't know. Vietnam was awesome. We did the Delta, and probably the most amazing experience was we went down the Mekong Delta in Saigon. And we, you know, there's a lot of different tours you can do. So if you go, try to find the most authentic one. And, you know, they take you for a 2-hour drive, and then you're literally in this town where you get on the back of this like rickety like van that's falling apart, and you know, no one speaks English other than your tour guide, and you really go in to see how like people live along the Delta. And like, we stop in like these families' homes where, you know, it's just like the poverty level it's so eye-opening, and it's so different than what you think of like an urban, you know, city and what poverty is like there.
It was sort of like when we were in Rio, and we would, you know, drive through the favelas or drive past favelas,
right,
and you could really see what was going on.
Right. They don't have anything. And it's, you know, you see these dogs all, you know, there's always dogs running around, and they're, you know, it's killing me because they're all so skinny that you just like, you want to just like feed them. And it was just one of those experiences that was really emotional, and you got the chance to sort of see what life is like out there. And we went down the Delta, and you see, you know, like there's all these different things, whether like the brickworking, and then you see this guy like literally just opening up these coconuts for hours and hours and hours on this like little steel thing that's like stuck in the ground, and you know, their homes and where they live and how they live. And you know, it's just, it was crazy. And then just going down the Delta, like, the landscape, everything is just so foreign and beautiful, and also just, you know, a dose of reality. And so it was one of those crazy experiences that we'll never, ever forget. And We miss Tom every day. But why don't we...
Let's take a little break.
Take a little break, and we'll talk Storm.
We'll move on to Europe, and we'll talk Storm, and we'll talk about a new feature on the podcast, Fan Call.
Primetime Baseball is back on NBC as the explosive Dodgers face the Astros, or see the Pirates-Phillies clash Tuesday. Check local listings for the game in your area.
I'm just sitting in my car and waiting for my girl.
Honey, last we left off, we left the honeymoon in Vietnam and the Mekong River Delta with giant catfish and luxury sort of rickety canoe trips.
Right. So definitely not luxury.
Take us to Europe.
Okay, so we then get on a flight, which was funny because I thought the flight was 7 hours and it really was like 14, mm-hmm. Which was a very, very long flight. but we eventually get to Switzerland and we went to Lucerne. And we only spent like a day there, and then we moved on to Italy, and we did like Como, which I had never been to, and it was so much fun. We kind of like settled there for a good amount of time and started eating a lot of pasta and gained a lot of weight there. Right. And it was...
Now, you and Todd have been to Italy together before.
Yes, we love Italy, but neither of us have been to Lake Como.
Right.
So we did a lot of boating and a lot of eating, and it was just like everything you would think for, you know, an Italian lake vacation. And then we moved on to
Did you do any shopping in Italy?
I didn't shop at all on the honeymoon. Not even one day.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
See, that's what I would have
known time.
Have to
so busy.
Every single day.
No, so busy. So busy drinking. so then we moved on to Portofino, which I had never been to, and that was such a cute, small little town. Like, Italy is my thing. Like, I love Italy. And I bet, you know, like, for Todd and I, the best part was that we drove all over Italy. We didn't fly anywhere. So, you know, obviously Todd drove. But we went, you know,
you
from
DJ.
Top. Yeah, I played DJ top to bottom, and it was so fun sort of doing that. We drove through Switzerland. Stopped at some chocolate factories, which really made my day. I felt like a 5-year-old. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. It was so fun. I made my own chocolate bar, things like that. And then we moved to Portofino, and then we went to Florence, which I have been to, but Todd has never been. And that was so much fun. What's funny about Italy that we have, like, our little jokes from that part of, like, our trip was – okay, so there's a few. We went to I think it's called the Boboli Gardens. I had been once, and the gardens were, like, they had roses, and it was really pretty. Like, I have pictures on my Facebook from the first time I went of what it was like. And I'm hoping that that's the name of the gardens, and I'm not. Something. But there's these gardens, it's, like, huge, and this, you know, old castle and whatever it is, and we couldn't understand what we were seeing. Like, we know we were seeing, like, when you read about it, and we, like, researched it and looked it up, and it's interesting, and, like, the history to it, and it's so old, but it was just ugly. Like, Todd was like, the lands look like they were, like, scorched by, like, a fire, and, like, no one has done anything about it, you know? Like, it's just, you know, I don't know what happened to it, but...
Something bad.
Something happened. And it was like one of those hot days where, you know, you want to have, like, you know, a great experience and be like, oh my God, I saw something so amazing. And, like, everyone else looks like they're in awe. And I was just like, both of us were like, what is this? Like,
are we on Mars?
Scorched by, like, some horrible event. But anyway. Then there was
definitely something that God did.
Something happened here. Then the next thing that I loved about our Italy part was, you know, the guys that sell, like, the silly toys in the squares and piazzas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I, again, 5 years old here. I loved this splat. We called it a splat. I don't know what it's really called, but it's this gooey thing that you slam, they slam down on a piece of wood, you know, and it splats. And I wanted.
So kind of like that jelly stuff that when you, in the 25 cent things, those hands that you would fling and they stuck to the wall, or was it something completely different?
Sort of like that. They were like a big blob of like goo. So it was like plumper than those old things.
Okay.
And it just looked like so much fun. So the entire like trip, I was like, Todd, I need a splat. And then they had these slings that go like flying, like much higher than one would think. You know, this was like a legit toy. So finally he got me the sling and the splat. And I had so much fun with my sling till I slung it over a rooftop and it was gone forever. So then I moved on to the splat that I've been waiting for. We waited till the last day to get the splat. And
did Todd make you wait, or you just felt like it was fiscally responsible to wait to get your 2 year old?
No, we were just like laughing about this whole thing the entire time, where it's sort of like, why would we ever, you know, buy a splat from?
But then it turned into its own thing that you had to get.
Yes, like we had to do it, and I get the splat. I was so excited, and I get home and I'm splatting on the hotel floor, and. And it starts leaking all over my hand. My hand starts burning. And I'm freaking out because, like, the splat must be poisonous. And
yeah, syndrome.
It's, like, what did I get on my hand? Like, splats, no one buy a splat because it will last you 2 minutes. Like, they are faulty and they are wrong for selling you a splat. I was so excited for this splat. And it just was so disappointing.
What more could you expect from a street-bought sort of toy item?
Well, right. I mean, usually...
Like, what were you thinking?
I know, but usually Todd and I, when those people come by, we're just like, no, thank you. And I always laugh at this because Todd, like, they followed up with, like, a question. They're never just like, oh, do you want whatever? And so Todd, you know, the first time usually I'm like, no, thank you, and then I go about what I'm doing. Todd, I don't know if it's a polite thing, but it's funny because it sounds exactly like this.
Contact.
No, thank you. And then they'll be like, but it does. No, thank you. And then, but no, thank you. No, thank you. Like he just continues this. No, thank you. And I'm just like, oh my God. Another thing so in sweet. Italy is, did you know that Saldi means sale?
Yep.
Okay. So I didn't. So I go to Todd the first day. I'm like, Todd,
I thought you didn't do shopping.
No, we were walking by. Like, we obviously walked all over. So I was like, Todd, look at that. There's so many of these stores named Saldi. And, and we, like, I mean, everything says Saldi because it means sale. But I, like, 100% thought that Saldi was a store.
See, this is when you actually should have shopped your face off in Italy because they started doing these crazy. Even Gucci will have Saldi.
Yeah,
so you
no,
have to
I didn't.
Do it in the summertime.
I didn't shop. We just literally just ate, drank, and walked around, and it was amazing. And
I'd be the worst guest on a honeymoon.
I love Italy. I mean, I know. You would just shop all day long.
Yeah, if you took me to Italy for the honeymoon, yeah. You'd have to get me someplace really remote if I was going to not shop.
Yeah, the Maldives.
But even then, I would find a way to shop. Yeah, can't buy anything. Oh, can I please buy that palm tree? That's what it would turn into.
No, we had a great time. Italy was awesome. We then did Rome, and then we went off to Santorini. I like the people in Italy. We had one problem with the guy that we put our car in to this garage where we were staying in Florence. Then we had to drive to Rome. And, we also went to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, which was very, like, upsetting to me because I wanted this, like, really fun photo that I
thought. Of you holding it up?
Right. You know, not just, like, the stupid kind that everyone do. And we just couldn't figure it out. And, like, it was very difficult. There wasn't, like, so you had to get up on these little, like, pillars that weren't meant to be. You know, you're not supposed to stand on them. And I mean, I almost face planted. Sorry. It was just like one of those things where I'm like, oh, okay, we saw it.
This is what I love about Italy, though, is that they'll do things like that. Like they'll give you this huge tourist attraction and they know that they make bank off of this tourist attraction. But then they'll give you like a faulty old rotten tire to stand on to get your picture with it. And Italy just they don't care.
Right.
You know what? Honey Badger doesn't care. Honey Badger's not scared of your lawsuit because it's Italy and you won't.
Right.
Win.
Who cares?
Cosa.
So anyway, we had a little car. It was a Skoda, whatever that is. And we put in this
it's
garage.
It's a checkmade car, a Skoda.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, there you go.
Know.
Mommy knows everything.
Yes,
continue.
Yes, she does. So we put it into the garage, and we met the most disgruntled man who was not going to give us our car back. And because we didn't have the ticket, we lost the ticket. So all he continued to say was, no ticket, no car. Very, like, looking at his phone. And Todd's like, it's a Skoda. And he's like, no ticket, no car. And I don't know why Todd just kept saying that. And I just, like, I couldn't stop laughing. Like, we possibly weren't going to get our car. This guy was, like, legit pissed and was just not going to, like,
he was
budge.
Not going to be helpful to you.
Yeah. So finally I was like, okay, well, just so you know, the rental car may, you know, a company may be coming for you. Like, I'm sure they're going to want it back at some point. But all right. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'll go get it. but other than that, we enjoyed all the people in Italy, went to Greece, again, just drank a lot and laid by the pool, and Todd loved
beautiful
it.
Beautiful water.
Yeah, I mean, Todd had never been to Greece, so I think that was, like, a really cool experience for him. We did, like, a wine tasting one day. It was very windy there at times. But, yeah, it was fantastic, and then we had to come home to real life.
Yeah. And then jet off to another wedding. I saw that you went to another
wedding. Yeah, so I was in Lindsay. It was the first wedding I was ever in, but that was awesome. I mean, I've known her for 22 years, and I don't know. It was emotional just to see, like, all of her friends that I grew up with, too, and her family, and we both got married 2 months apart. But and we had quite the dance party. I had to slit my dress. You know, when the Dougie came on, I was just like, all right, time to make this a mini skirt. Todd and I were doing pair lifts by the end of the night, you know.
Well, thank God he's finally learned how to lift you proper.
I mean, he had assistance. We need to teach him how to do a proper lift.
All right. Well, next time we're all together, which could be Korea, we'll have a master class in lifting Tara and
spinning
her.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and not splitting his pants. I mean, it was a busy summer for you.
It really was. You know what was great about the honeymoon, though, is, like, you really, like, when you're gone so long, you actually, like, change your sort of, like, daily thinking, which was nice. Because it's, like, when it's, like, 10 days, you kind of, like, are on guard knowing you're going to leave and, like, whatever. You know, like, we really at one point was just, like, hell with it. Like, you know, You wake up and you're literally just, like, enjoying each other and enjoying life. And it seems so surreal and weird that all the time I was like, oh my God, it's going to end. Like, this is too good. It's going to end. But it was just, I don't know. We also, like, spent so much time together, and, you know, everyone was asking, like, oh, like, was that hard? Like, no. I mean, you know me to begin with. Like, if I pick someone in life, I could spend all my time with them. But we really became, like, things that I would laugh with my girls or he would laugh with his guys, we, like, started to laugh together because we had to. We were just together. And one of them was Storm, and I shared this
Storm
with you at the KCON event we just did for Korea.
Yeah. So wait, I want to tell everyone. So guys, despite the fact that I'm just sort of sitting here like a silent bystander, it's not because, it's not for any other reason that I haven't heard these stories. You know, Tara and I save things for the podcast, and we won't talk about them specifically so we can, you know, enjoy doing the podcast. We don't rehearse. We just kind of spill it.
Right.
And I haven't heard all these things. So
I know. We saw each other like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, Johnny, did we talk?
We were in L.A. shooting. Well, let's remind them. We were in L.A. We were shooting a feature for NBC Olympics about KCON, which is the Korean convention in California that brings skincare, dancing, music. K-pop is a huge thing. And we were just sort of discovering it for the Olympics and getting ready. Anyway, while we were there, we discussed several things, and obviously we went through the, you know, ivory nethers of the honeymoon, but didn't get into the nitty gritty. But one of the things that Tara couldn't keep away from me was Storm.
Storm. I mean, so we watched, I was like, I sometimes look at the videos on Weather Channel, and I find them quite amusing. You probably would like them. There's a lot of, like, sharks and, like, a guy on a surfboard with, like, 10 sharks circling around him and whatever. But they had this one of this dog who was going, running into the water,
diving into a lake,
rescuing a baby deer. And the guy, though, that is shooting the video is his owner, and his voice / things he said were so funny that, like, this gave us amusement for like hours upon hours. And it's this guy literally going, oh, storm. And he calls his dog. That's how he says it, like, storm. And he starts every sentence and includes storm in everything. So he'll be like, oh, storm's running into the water. I think storm's going to save that baby deer. Storm is saving that baby deer right this second. You know, and it's, like, so funny. And then, like, what's the best part is like, you don't know if storm is saving the deer or just, like,
murdering.
You know, it's instinct to go, like, fetch the deer and then still play with the deer, because as he pulled the deer out, you're thinking, oh, this is so cute. But then he's sort of like, the deer's trying to get up and get away, and storm, and, you know, the owner's like, storm, no, storm. And, like, grab him by the neck. And then, like, the deer is playing dead, but it's still alive. And it's like this weird thing. But the owner and the way he does, like, the storm. And then, obviously, like, me and you and Todd, obviously, we've taken it a step further. And it's sort of like, storm, no. You killed
storm,
him, Storm.
It's burnt to the liver.
Storm, he's bleeding out. Oh, Storm, it's over.
Oh, Storm, he's dead.
Let him go, Storm.
Storm, it's just the pancreas.
I thought he was saving him. Oh, Storm.
Yeah, so if you guys hear us commentating anything this year and, like, one of the girls falls on something and we're like, oh, Storm.
Storm, no.
You'll now know where it comes
from. Storm. Storm, yeah, saving a baby deer right this second.
No, Storm, don't kill that deer. Oh.
Storm, no.
Storm. But I like the idea. I've only heard Todd Kapp do it a couple times when he joined us for the KCON concert at the Staples Center when we were just... We were those idiots sitting, not knowing what was going on around us. So we were doing storm jokes.
All day long.
Storm!
Storm, no!
Yeah, so, I mean, the people sitting in their cars listening to us right now are like, what the hell
what
are they talking about? They're laughing so
guys,
hard. In our heads, you guys
Google
are laughing your faces off.
Like, I need you guys to do something for me. You should subscribe, but I would also like you to Google storm saving a baby deer. And
Bambi.
I feel like you will have the same reaction.
Yeah.
I just
Storm.
Do. Storm, no.
It just sounds like an idiot. yeah, so I mean, just trying to close out this before we get to Fan Corner with a couple things. I don't, you know, I've had a really...
Can we talk about your summer? Because a lot has happened in mine.
Well, I mean, you've been so busy. And in comparison, mine, like, I got into Scandal, the television show starring Kerry Washington.
Like, okay.
Yeah, got into that. I've had a really... As I said in our last edition of this podcast, is that I get seasonal depression in summer. So I've been trying to, after the Japan tours were over and all of that ended early this year, simply because all of the skaters in it that are still competing have to prepare for the Olympics. So our tours ended before the wedding. So the beginning of June, we were done. And the only other big skating event that I've had, I just did this past weekend in Sun Valley, Idaho, which is a big mountainous resort. It's very she. It reminds me a lot of the Dirty Dancing Resort. And you've been there, right?
I have.
Yeah,
a little girl.
So, I mean, it's a tough place to skate, and I was really nervous. But anyway, because of the big break in time between skating things, I sort of gave myself some leniency and wasn't skating that much. Because, you know, because of my seasonal depression and my drinking habit, I just was not enjoying it. So I was just like, okay, Johnny, you're not going in. It's going to be too late at night. Meanwhile, the practice is at 2 in the afternoon. So I've been dealing with my own depression in my own way. I choose my choice. But something fun, I had two birthday parties. My birthday is on July 2nd, everyone. And I celebrated that in Wilmington, Delaware, with my family and friends down here. And then the weekend after, I celebrated in New York with my friends up there. And I made both parties, you know, white parties, because I like to start with a fresh slate every season. And to be honest, I like the joy of seeing who...
Exclusively white in summer.
Exclusively white, yeah. I like the idea of seeing which of my friends is the sloppiest and which one gets messy first. It's kind of a power trip that I have, because I never get messy when I wear white. So those birthdays were awesome. It was great to spend with family and friends and just sort of relax. But I've had a really relaxing, sort of boring summer. No syndromes, really. No trouble with the puppy. Everything has been extremely boring, honestly. I cannot wait until the skating season starts. I cannot wait until my furs come out of storage. I just can't wait to get into winter wonderland.
You are crazy.
I am, and I may be. I've been sleeping a lot. And I mean, yeah. So this
you're coming out of hibernation.
So I'm coming out of hibernation. I'm really getting turnt. Got fat for a bit after the wedding.
Come on. Because... all I see is you doing Pilates.
Well, why do you think I post those things? It's propaganda. I want everyone to think that I'm super fit and doing things, but meanwhile, I'm crying myself to sleep into a pie.
No.
No. Guys, don't be worried. Everything is absolutely fine. I'm lovely. I'm bored, and I just am ready for summer to be over, which it is, I guess, because Labor Day. Ooh, Labor Day was fun. So actually, I have two fun stories, actually, before we get to Fan Corner. So one of them is that I've reached an all-new dating low. And... and you're really going to enjoy this. So lately, just being a responsible adult, if I do go out, and I know I say I've developed a drinking problem, but really it's sort of just mild. Like every other weekend, I'll have a drink. But one of the weekends that I got lit, I took an Uber home because I've been really responsible about taking Ubers. I'm going to drink because I don't have a husband that I can make stay sober and drive me home. So I take Ubers. So I always, you know, when it gets to be midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, whenever I leave where I'm leaving, I'm in good mood. And I think I'm a great, happy drunk to be around. So I make friends with my Uber drivers because my life is in their hands for the next 20 or 30 minutes, however long it takes. And we make friends. So one of them, I was like, you know what? Do you have any friends you can set me up with?
Oh, no. No.
Yeah. So just the other day, I got a call in the middle of the night, and it wasn't a dating setup. I got called for a booty call.
From your Uber driver?
From my Uber driver. I can't remember his name, but my Uber driver's friend gave me a call and wanted to hook up. So that was a fun story. I know you're going to like that one.
What do you say to that? I'm like, no, thank you.
He wrote me, and he was like, hey, I'm your Uber dude's bro. And I was like, Which Uber driver? Because I have a lot of Uber drivers. I take a lot of Ubers. I make friends with all of them because mommy loves enjoying the area. And yeah, it was just an all new low that I haven't really experienced in a long time. So the loneliness, while it may be futile and while it may be, you know, painful for me to be as lonely as I am sometimes, I'm not to the point where I can accept a booty call from a friend of my Uber driver.
We're not going to go there.
Yeah, so quit that one. And then the other thing for Labor Day, how do you feel about crab?
What do you mean?
Not your crab, not the one you married, but like actual crabs that you eat.
It depends. I don't eat them very often.
Yeah, so I...
I used to go to Red Lobster.
Before you gave yourself that mercury poisoning.
Exactly. Haven't had much since.
Yesterday was Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, everybody. You know, it's funny that we celebrate Labor Day and don't work when it's all about working. I worked. I had these little cousins that I was like, oh, I'm working. Meanwhile, working to me at that point was like, videoing myself running through a cornfield. because Instagram is work.
So you were just taking care of them.
I wasn't just taking care of them because, you know, now that school's back in session, I drove by a playground at a school near my house, and it just reminded me of the White Walker army just, like, closing in on Jon Snow. And it just terrifies me, and the older I get, the more anti-child I get. I'll love looking at them from afar or seeing a cute commercial, but as far as having to deal with them in my own life, I'm just kind of over it, aside from your child.
Right,
and if Jackie
of course.
Ever has a baby, you know, I'm not into it. Anyway, I was hanging out with my little cousins, and they're, you know, as cute as kids can be. And
I'm kind of like you. I mean, I'm going to just be honest. Like,
I only like the ones I gave birth to.
See, I'm not as bad as you. Like, my friends, like, obviously Scarlett's my goddaughter, so I feel like she's mine as well. Abby and Hannah, who you met at the wedding, like, those girls mean the world to me. I don't have, like, a lot of family, so, like, even today – Lori sent me a picture of them going off to school, and I don't see them that often. But, like, at the wedding, too, I had such, like, while everyone was running around, the two girls were just by me, and they were so calm and sweet. And, like, I was emotional, obviously, that day, but I felt even more emotional. And then when she's like, oh, they're going to, like, one of them's going to fourth grade, I was just like, oh, I don't know. Like, it is weird. Like, I do have, like, the kids in my life that come from people I know I care about. Now, for you, not so much. But.
Yeah, I mean, I am a man at the end of the day.
Right.
Papa bear. I feel nothing. And it's not that I dislike children. It's just I don't feel anything. And I don't think that the cute things that they do are actually that cute. I'm just like, well, I can do that. Probably better than
you,
child.
Well, I feel like all parents think that their kids, you know.
Well, I know my dog is the cutest thing that I've ever seen, and it's my child, and I've raised him.
Right.
So,
right.
So, I mean, I get it. I just have gotten really, you know, in my old age, just really annoyed by it. But anyway, we had this family picnic yesterday with in the Middle Atlantic area. It's very popular to have sort of a crab boil and to cook crabs and boil corn on the cob and drink Budweiser. And that's how I spent my day for Labor Day. And I was like the douche sort of sitting off to the side eating a tortilla chip. Because have you ever actually looked at what comes out of a crab when you crack it?
No, I mean, not really. I don't think. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, the legs.
I remember growing
up
and we would have crab picking parties. And we would just go to town on dozens of crabs with Old Bay seasoning all over them. And I remember enjoying it. And we'd get clams and, you know, all this stuff. But now that I'm old enough to have eyes and actually comprehend what I'm looking at, just when you crack it, they've got these white fluffy lungs everywhere.
Oh, okay.
And then poo.
Oh.
Like this mustardy colored poo.
Like shrimp.
Yeah, it's disgusting to me. So there was this whole thing happening yesterday.
I mean,
and I
Red
drove
Lobster
all the way to Pennsylvania.
Always did such a good job. Go on.
Red Lobster kept it clean. No, I drove all the way to Quarryville, Pennsylvania. And that's where the thing was happening, and that's how I spent my Labor Day. But, you know,
I mean, now
God
it's,
willing, I'm going to wear white for 6 more months anyway, so whatever.
Now it's fall. You're coming out of hibernation, and we got to go. So we need to talk about fan call.
All right, guys. So we have a brand new feature, and it's a brainchild of me sitting and trying to figure out what we can do to make season 2 of Tara and Johnny the podcast more special. And then Tara had this brilliant idea that we should do interviews. But you guys know that we hate interviews. So we really had to go back and forth thinking about what we would do. And we decided that the best thing that we could possibly do as far as interviewing is concerned is ask you guys a fun question. Have you call in via fan call and tell us your story. So the way it's going to work is we're going to give you an email address and a phone number that you can call with your story, your answer to our question, and we will choose our favorite and we'll call you
and then we'll
set
chat
it up with
about
Jason
it.
And we'll chat about it and we'll interview you and want to see who you are and learn about you. So this is a great way for us to get to know you because you guys know all the nitty gritty about
right.
us.
So we want really entertaining stories so we have someone good to pick. Our first one is going to be your most interesting, funny story of, as Johnny would say, holding court, which means your night out with friends, boyfriend, husband, kids.
Business going, trip in a hotel lobby bar.
Going out and what funny things may have occurred.
We want the most embarrassing or the funniest. I mean, we've got ours. But what is the funniest thing that's ever happened to you while you were holding court? And we will choose our favorite story before next week's recording of podcast.
And then we'll chat with you.
Every Tuesday. And we'll chat with you.
Okay, so but fan call number, guys. 302-566-8157. 302.
Oh, you're doing it again.
Yep. 566-8157 or 302-KNOT-157. There is no email, but you can.
There is no email.
Right. If you really do have an amazing story, you can comment on Instagram if you think you can sort of get it all out in text form. But we urge you to call this number.
Well, best to call the number, but you can also do an Insta direct message. That way that you can include your phone number and our producer, Jason Groman, can get in touch with you. But, you know, the people that need the studio now are kind of banging down our walls. So
yeah,
we have
so
to
we're
end.
Done, guys.
Yeah, we're done for now. But, you know, we're really excited to be back. Honey, I love you and I've missed you so much. We're so thankful to all 3.6 trillion of you that spend your time with us, your hours, your car rides, your everything. And we're so appreciative.
Yeah, we missed you.
Aren't we?
All right.
Yeah. But until next time, we love you and
bye.
Bye.
You don't party?
Oh, I party. Now I'm married. Prince Oberyn, if I may, a word in private.
This program is brought to you in living color on NBC. The opening and some non-presentation portions were pre-recorded.